talked about before. But I just think about songs, as pastors always said, that there are certain songs and hymnals in the hymnal that always just always irradiate in your heart and always make the most wonderful point how we can just keep trusting our Lord. You know, the last time that we had a chance to preach, we talked about tough times, and we're going to go through those. Amen. But we can just keep trusting my Lord is the song that says in Psalm 637 in our hymnal. It says, just keep trusting the Lord as we walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord. He gives a song. Though storm clouds darken the sky over the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. I can count on him to the very end. Though clouds darken the sky over the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord, and he will never fail. Thank you, Mr. Alex. Let's take our Bibles tonight. I want us to turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 4, as we're going to try to endeavor to pick up with where we kind of left off the last time that we had an opportunity to preach. I guess I won't hear the organist playing tonight, and I won't have the bells, the guitar playing, and the bells jingling and all of that time. The last time I had a chance to preach, it was at my uncle's church, and I tell you, they got some entertainment that goes on in there apart from the Word of God. But I thank the Lord that he gave me a chance to preach there, got a chance to share the salvation, and people, if they ever get to heaven, they can't blame God they didn't hear it at least that Sunday morning. But I praise God for that, and that was truly unexpected, but God gave me the privilege of being there with my aunt and preaching the Word of God. Let's take our Bibles to stand in 1 Peter chapter number 4, and we're going to read verse 12. Maybe just a couple of verses there, but I want to finish it out hopefully tonight. Our thought is trusting God in the hard times. Amen. Notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter number 4. It says, beloved, verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. And that word fiery has the idea of being like a fire. You know, when you go through the fire, that's what trials are like sometimes to us. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You know, when I think we take our eyes off the end results, we tend to lose focus. And we really kind of fade along the way. But we ought to rejoice because we are in Christ, those that are here tonight that are saved. And we are partakers because the Bible tells us if our master suffered, we shouldn't be exempted from it either. Amen. And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of. It's talking about those of the world. But on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as murderers or as thieves or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him be not ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house tonight. God, we thank you for your eternal word that will never fail us. But Lord, it'd be something that we would take to heart, not just tonight, but each and every day in our lives. Because it is the word of God that can make the difference in our lives. It saves us, Lord. It sustains us. And it helps us to serve our Savior to a greater capacity. And may we tonight, Lord, as we gather around your word, may you fill me with your spirit, empty me of self, forgive me of any sin that would be a hindrance to what you would want to say, that your people may leave here different and rejoice and say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And we praise you now and thank you for all that you've done and for what you've done to do. Meet with us now for this period of time. Bless now as you see fit. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as Peter's writing here to us, as we talked about it last time, you know, that one of the things that we pointed out here was four things that we wanted to look at. One of the things that we wanted to look at that we did look at for the first part of this message was expect trials. As a Christian, we are to expect trials to come into our lives. And it shouldn't take us by surprise when they happen, because God is not mocked. Whatever so a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But the Bible tells us explicitly that we're going to have trials in our lives. We're going to face them. And so we ought not be taken by surprise when those things come. We also talked about we can be exalted in our trials, as we kind of left off probably talking about that. But when I think about as a Christian, we should expect trials. But he also tells us we ought to be exalted in our trials, but we also ought to be examined in our trials, but we ought to be entrusting God in our trials. So those are the four things that we wanted to talk about. We only probably talked on about two of those things, but I want to kind of pick it up tonight. When we think about as a Christian, a lot of times when we should expect trials to come in our lives, we are often surprised by the severity of the trials that come in our lives. We think God doesn't know what he's doing because of the severity of the trials that we may be facing. But you know what? God knows what we need in our lives, and he never fails to give us exactly what we need. We often are surprised, but we often are surprised by the sanctity or the purpose of the trial. See, God knows what we need in our lives to make us what he wants us to be. If it was left up to us, most of us would not want to go through what we go through in our lives every day. How many of y'all would want to go through what you're going through right now? How many of y'all would choose to go through with what you're going through? But you know, God has you going through what you're going through because God knows what you need in your life. I wouldn't ask that God would take my uncle before I get a chance to spend more time with him. I wouldn't ask that upon him to take my father, who I don't have around now. I wouldn't ask God to take my mother, who I don't have around now. I wouldn't ask God to take my grandmother, who I don't have around now. But God has allowed all of those things to happen in my life. And let me say this, folks. I believe that one of the hardest things for us as Christians to accept what God brings into our lives is because we have to make up our mind. And I look at it this way. When I got married some 37 years ago, I decided that when I got married, I was going to stay married. Amen. And when you decide that you're going to give your life to the Lord, and knowing that he's the God of this universe, know that God knows exactly what he's doing in your life. I believe it would behoove us as Christians if we would decide that no matter what happens in our lives, we're going to still serve the Lord. Amen. And I made that up in my mind some years ago. Y'all hear me give this testimony all the time, that when Pastor Kraft left the church when I was in Terre Haute, Spain, he asked me, Kenny, what are you going to do when I leave? I'm going to keep trusting the Lord. I'm going to keep serving God because that's what you taught me that I ought to do. I'll not keep my eyes on man. I'll not keep my eyes on somebody, but I ought to keep my eyes on this book and the God of this book, because no matter what happened, I made up my mind years ago that I was going to serve the Lord. Have I gone through some trials? Yes, I've gone through some trials. But going through those things, I believe that Peter wants us to experience and to understand that when we go through trials in our lives, they're for a reason. And I believe because God takes us through what we go through in order to make us better for that which he has for us, and that is heaven's home that he has already prepared for us. Because if we'd have it our way, we wouldn't go through what we go through. I'm going to ask these three young men to come back up here tonight. And I gave the illustration. I gave against Jeremiah in this group this time, since he wanted to come on up. Terrell and Gregory, he's standing back there holding his Bible. Come on up. You can be real spiritual and bring your Bible up here with you. I'm going to use them as y'all saw we did last time. And I believe it'll help us with the illustration of understanding some of the things that we want to talk about tonight. There are three things that I've always said about trials when they happen in our lives. And they standing in about the right order too, ain't? Tallest to the shortest, amen. Josiah didn't like that. But I want us to think about it tonight. When we think about the severity, or we think about the source, God is the source. The severity is what we go through, but it's necessary in our lives, because I believe, as we said last time, there's three things that happen in the Christian life is that we're going to always be going into trials if we're not already in one. Amen. We're going to not only always be going into some trials, but we're going to be in the middle of some trials in our Christian life. Not only are we going to be in the middle of them, but we're going to be going out of those trials. But as soon as we get in them, go through them, and get out of them, it seems like the process starts right back over. Right. Amen? Right. Would y'all agree? And when we think about those things that we go through, we ought to do the four things that we're talking about tonight. We ought to expect trials. We know that they're going to happen. We ought to be able to exalt in our trials because we can trust God. We ought to examine ourselves in these trials, but we ought to also entrust God in those trials that we're going through. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. So I want to paint this picture in your mind already to understand the three principles or three things that happens in the Christian life, and it happens to every one of us. Amen. Y'all make good illustrations tonight. Okay, so y'all can be seated. But I want you guys to keep that in mind as the things that we're talking about, because there's a source, there's a severity in the trials that we were going through. And when we ought not be surprised at the source, because God is the source, and he's speaking of the former friends sometimes that we have in our lives. And we wonder why they act like they do, because we're trying to help them. But yet we can be a challenge when it comes to our friends in our lives, because they think something wrong with you when you say you're a Christian. Amen. Yeah. I remember Greg when he used to drink. I remember when he used to do that. I remember Kenny when he used to do this. And I remember Brother Hall when he used to do this. I remember Brother Scott when he used to be this way. Aren't you glad you're not the way you used to be? Yeah. And you want everybody you know to experience the joy that comes with serving God. And sometimes they look at you like you got three heads and I only got one. Amen. But they think you do sometimes. So we're surprised by the severity. Sometimes we're surprised by the sanctity, because God knows in ourselves. He knows the depths of our sin. And sometimes I think we forget that. He knows the extent of our self-trusting. God also knows the shallowness of our joy. And our faith must be tested, because we said before, a faith that never has been tested cannot be trusted. Amen. So we've seen those things we think about as a Christian. As a Christian, we should exhort in our trials. What are we talking about there? Keep rejoicing. And sometimes it may sound like you're being kind of hypocritical. How can you rejoice when you're going through trials? You know, really, you can if you look at it in the way that God would have you to look at it. We rejoice because we're going through the same thing that our Savior went through. We're going through the same thing that most people in the books of the Bible talks about them going through suffering, because many Christians that we know that are examples, even in the Hall of Faith, all of them went through some trials in their lives. But you know, one thing that they did that all of us can do is to live by faith. And we can trust God because we can live by faith. Our Bible tells us to keep rejoicing. So we can rejoice, because I think one of the things that we forget when we think about how we can be exalted in trials is the fellowship that we have because of the trials that we go through. Isn't it wonderful when you think about in your Christian life how great your fellowship with God is now because of the things that you've gone through? Do you realize today that you wouldn't have the fellowship with God if it was not for the trials that you go through? God is greater to us because of what we go through. I think about it in my Christian life. I showed you four people that I lost in my life. But because of that, all of them that I do know without a doubt, maybe just not one of them, I know that they're going to be in heaven one day. And you know what? I can exalt, I can rejoice in the trials because of that. Folks, if it had not been for that, I couldn't rejoice. I saw many people at the funeral of all of the four that I went to that I can remember. And you know how you see people, they walling all over the casket. They're hanging on to it. They're going through a lot of things emotionally, because you know what? They're living without hope. But when the person who's deceased before you, and you know their testimony, and you know that they're a Christian, you ought to be able to rejoice. And I'm not saying that you're not going to be suffering a loss, but you know what? All is not lost. Because they're not going through suffering anymore. And you're going to see them in heaven one day. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's a great comfort to me. And I can rejoice because of that. And a lot of times, things that happen in your life, if you really stop and think about it, there's so many things to rejoice about, because you realize that you've gone through it. And it wasn't as bad as you thought it was. And it makes you a better person. It gives you a greater fellowship with God, because you're taking part in something that he went through. Do you realize tonight that he suffered for you? He suffered for me. So not only do I have greater fellowship, but I have a greater relationship with him because of what I've gone through. Because I realize that I can trust him just a little bit more. And that's what trials do for you. And that's what even the loss of, I can say, even the loss of an uncle who was a great monumental spiritual influence in my life, but a great friend, a mentor, someone you could talk to about any and everything. He's gone on to heaven. And like I told them, I said, if I was him, I wouldn't want to come back. Amen. I wouldn't want to come back to this world. When I go, ain't nothing wanting me to come. Ain't nothing I'm going to hold on to that I want to come out. I love my wife, but you know what? I know that I'm going to see her in heaven if I go before she do. Because we sit down at the table and we both accepted Christ at the same time. That's a great joy, folks. Just knowing that. That even to lose her, or whether it be by the upper or the under, I'm going to see her in heaven one day. My children, the same thing. I can tell you that I can rejoice because I know if anything happens to them, I'm going to see them in heaven one day. And it's not because of any great thing that I've done, but it's because of the fellowship that I have with God. But it's also the relationship that I have with God. And folks, you can rejoice. But you got to find the thing that you can rejoice in. And trusting God is the thing that you can rejoice in because you can trust him. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's never failed. That wasn't even in the message, amen. But that's good stuff because I need to trust him. And I believe that you need to because of the relationship. We can also have a relationship, but we can rejoice because of the fellowship. I think about the because of it deepens our relationship. When we think about Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel could go through what he went through. And I believe it's parallel to us as Christians. Daniel had already made up his mind what he's going to do when he got to Babylon. He knew what he was going to do. I'm not going to eat the king's meat. I'm not going to let anything defile me and ruin my relationship with God. I'm not going to let any trial that happens in my life ruin my relationship with God. I don't want to turn back to the old life. Boy, that's worse than anything. But where are you going to go? Who are we going to turn to as the disciples? For thou hast eternal life. And God is the only one that can give you the eternal life. And Daniel was not deterred. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And I believe when we make up our mind, whatever God takes us through, he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's going to be with us through everything that we go through. So we can exalt him and we can be exalted in him because it also deepens our joy of his return. Look at verse number 18. I'm saying all these things. We got to look at the Bible because y'all think that I'm just talking with two heads. Amen. So we can look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about this. Look at verse number 13. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ. That's what we're talking about. Because we're going through the same thing that Christ went through. In as much as ye are partakers of Christ, suffering that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. I think about today when I went into the military, I can rejoice because of the 24 years I spent into it. Because the greatest time of the 24 years that have passed is the first of the month. Y'all to catch that after a while, amen. That retirement check is steady, ready, and available every time I go and look at my bank statement. But you know what? I went through some things in my military career. But I can rejoice because you know what? The Lord helped me to get through those times. Did everybody treat me right? No, they didn't. Were there some people that tried to backstab me? There were some people that said things about me. There was people that were didn't approve of the way I did. Oh, yes. But I can rejoice. Because I can go through those things. So we look at it here in verse number 14. If ye be reproached, in other words, by the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you, that on their part they're evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So think about it. Most Christians, when we're living for the Lord, there's always somebody who's not going to have something favorable to say about you. Amen? But you ought to still be able to rejoice because the Spirit of God rests upon you. And they might be doing it for the evil of it, but God is allowing it to happen for the glory of it. That you might glorify him even through all of that you go through because of the way other people treat you. If you're a preacher tonight,
Everybody don't like what you do, do they, preacher? Do they, brother Neil? Do they, brother Scott? Well, even as Christians, people don't like what you say. They don't even like what you wear. They talk about that. You got a hat on, they think you ought not have a hat on. You got blue on where the blue don't match. Well, you got pink shoes on, and it would look better if you had on the ruby-colored shoes or whatever. You know, there's all kind of things that people are going to still say about you no matter what. Am I truthful? It's just human nature. But that's the way it is. And they mean evil by it, but God means to be glorified by it. Isn't that wonderful? And that's the way we have to look at it. I tell you what, folks. In the last couple of weeks, with all that's going on in my life, I had to stop and ask God to forgive me because of my behavior. My wife knew exactly what I'm talking about. Because when you're walking with the Lord and you're sensitive to God's spirit and God's leading in your life, you can't always just get so angry with other people because of some things that happen. I had to realize I'm not stinking, not strange. Concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. And let patience have her what? Perfect work. That you may be perfect what? An entire wanting nothing. God wants you to mature in your Christian life. And maturity comes because if you go through the trials the right way, and I'm not saying that they're easy, you're going to mature from them. Do you know that? And you ought to want to mature. You ought not want a baby to be like a baby, like Pastor was talking about at Wednesday night. We got a pacifier in your mouth. You got to have a pacifier. You got to have a pad on the back. You want your diaper changed. You want water. You want something to drink. You want a bath given to you. You want all those things because you haven't matured as a Christian. And everything upsets you. That's not maturity. We ought to be maturing as Christians. And I had to apologize to my wife. I had to apologize to the people at work. I had to apologize to people that I was dealing with on the phone because it was getting to me. But I knew that it's not pleasing to God. Because the people that I work with say, we ain't seen nothing different, but I know. It was like Pastor was saying Wednesday night, you know what your relationship is like with God. And nobody else may know. Because you can look good on the outside, but God knows what you're dealing with on the inside. Because the Bible says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And if you're going to be right with God, even when you're going through things that you don't like, you still got to glorify him because he's worth it. And you ought to ask God to forgive you. And you ought to ask those whose lives you are affecting to forgive you because you want to keep a clean slate before God. Because God doesn't like hard-hearted bitterness and anger and railings and arguing and fussing and fighting and getting all upset over every little trivial thing that happened. That's not what God wants us to do as Christians. And I tell you what, if you don't pass the test don't go away. It comes back again. You're either going into it again, you're in the middle of it because you ain't got it right. And you might go through part of it, but if you don't get it right, you know, you got to start over again. I don't know anybody that takes a test and want to just keep taking it over again, do you, Brother Neil? You want to get the passing grade so you can move on to something else, even in the Christian life. But sometimes we got to stay in there. Now, it gets me to this third point I want to make. Sometimes we need to exalt God. I didn't give all of those, did I? Let me finish those so we get to the next point. So when we talk about exalting, we want to exalt him even because it leads to a deeper experience of
God's Spirit upon us. I believe with my Christian life, look at verse number 14. And it says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of glory of God, rests upon you. You know, one of the greatest testimonies that I believe that Stephen had, you remember when they had stoned Stephen, and Stephen made a quote, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And when they looked at Peter, they thought they were looking at an angel. What do people see when they look at you? Because see, what he's saying here, when people look at you, when you're going through trials, there ought to be something about you that resembles the character of God. I remember when Teresa and I first got saved, and we've shared this before, when we, the first time we ever went back home from when we were overseas, and we had gotten saved and went to her old church, and we stood up and gave, didn't give her like, "I'm Pastor so-and-so, and we bring you glory and honor from Bethel Baptist Church in, no, Eifel Baptist Church in Spangdahlem, Germany." You know, like, y'all don't know about all that stuff when you get up and stand up in churches that we grew. They give you all this long, drawn-out title. I just praise the Lord for his goodness, his grace, and his mercy for bringing me and my wife here safely, and we can be here this morning to be in the house of the Lord. And one of the ladies that was our Teresa and I vacation Bible school teacher, her and her husband were the ones that ran vacation Bible school. She said, "You know what? Something happened to Kenny and Teresa when they left here." She said, "Because I look at them, and when Kenny stood up and gave his testimony, there's just something different about him. They've been saved." Amen. Ain't nothing I did. But what I'm saying here is the glory of God's Spirit ought to rest upon you, and that people ought to see there's something different about you. And when you're going through trials, that's when it needs to be revealed the most. Because most people looked at me and said, "We don't understand why you don't seem like you're at a great loss because of your..." I am at a great loss. But I mean, I'm rejoicing. Because he's not suffering. He's in heaven. I look at even my dad. He's in heaven. And I get a little bothered with my mother when I think about Mother's Day. I'm going to be a little troubled when Father's Day comes. But I can still rejoice because of where they are and because of what God has done in my life. And when people look at you, do they see a little bit of Christ-likeness in your life? See, the Bible says in verse 14, as a Christian, you know what it says when it talks about a Christian? It's only mentioned three times in the Bible. It's mentioned in Acts when it talks about Christian. But what it's really saying, that we ought to be a little bit like a little, we ought to be a little crisis. That's what we ought to look like. And preacher, they gave me this name at my uncle's church. They called me Little Prentice. They said, when you got up and you spoke and you stood there before you got ready to preach, you look, you do just like your Uncle Prentice. He was standing up there and he would just kind of gather himself before he would say anything. And then he would just let it rip. And they said, "You just got up there and you just kind of gathered yourself. And boy, you just went on to preaching." I don't know if I'm a little apprentice, but I want to be a little bit like Christ. Amen. So when they see me, the Spirit of God rests upon you, and people know when there's something different about you. See, when you grew up in the churches that Pastor's talking about this morning, or Brother Hall's talking about, when you really get saved, he really got saved, Greg. Pastor said, his co-worker said, "Greg really got saved." I hope they say that about me. Amen. Kenny got saved. Miss Hall got saved. You know, this week, Teresa and I got a call from the Perkins. Little Nora got saved this week. That's right. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen. They had to take her away from us, but it's all right. I forgive them, I guess. Amen. No, just kidding. But the Spirit of God ought to rest upon us in such a way that we're a little Christ-like. So you're a little Christ-like tonight. Boy, you ought to be. Amen? Amen. So let's move on, because there are some things that ought to happen to us little Christ-like creatures. Amen. As a Christian, we should examine ourselves in trials. And that's probably one of the hardest things for us to do. Look at verse number 15. And it says, but let none of you suffer as murderers or as thieves or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. In other words, as a Christian, we should examine ourselves in trials. There ought to be a self-examination. Am I going through what I'm going through because of some sin in my life? It's kind of like this. It's like, and I thought about it when Pastor was talking about it Wednesday night. Most of you know when you're not right with God. Amen? You know where you ought to be when it comes to your relationship with God. And most of us, we be honest with ourselves, when things are not going the way that they ought to, we need to take a self-examination and ask ourselves, is this some sin that I need to be forgiven of? Is there something that I need to deal with? And I believe in our heart of hearts, we know when we're there. If really we'll be honest with ourselves. And one of the saddest things that you could ever do as a Christian is not take a self-examination and ask yourself, am I doing what God would have me to do in this situation? Am I living the way that God would have me to live? And there's nothing to be too proud of to ask God to forgive you when you're doing wrong. And that's what I had to do these last 2 weeks, because I have to admit, I was under a lot of stress and a lot of things going on. And I had to ask God to forgive me, because I want to be right with God and not too proud. And I'm not too proud to say that. And anybody who believes this book and the God of it ought not be too proud to ask God to forgive you when you're wrong about the way that you behave. So there's a self-examination that needs to take place. And that's what Peter is talking about. You know what? He's given a laundry list of things that you ought not be. That ought not happen. Look at what he says in verse 15. But none of you suffer as a murderer. You know, you can kill somebody and you don't have to take a knife or jack or hammer or anything and kill them. You can kill them with your spirit in the church. Because people can do that. A lot of times when you see somebody, you can tell where your thermometer is sometimes in your spiritual walk. How many of y'all get excited when you hear somebody get saved? We ought to. But sometimes we can go, okay, about time. And it ought to be about time, but we ought to be rejoicing because the person got saved. I'm telling you, if you don't get excited about it, there's something wrong with your exciter. Because when a soul is saved from the pits of hell, you ought to be excited about it. And don't be so selfish because you didn't lead them to the Lord. There's another one out there. Find somebody else. That's right. There's somebody else that needs to be saved. We go out on Saturday morning. You ain't got to wait till Saturday, amen. You can go. So he's telling us that there ought to be a self-examination. Pastor, anybody got to go to work? So I can just keep right on preaching, amen. So we ought to see the self-examination that takes place in a person's life, but the Savior's glorification. Look at verse number 16. He says, yet if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Many Christians, as I said already earlier, we ought to be just like little Christ. Little Christ. When they say, well, there goes that Christian. Oh, there goes another Christian. But most of them look at us and our lives are probably not so much. Well, I heard he was religious, but he acts like he really ain't. That'd be sad. But you ought to have a testimony that you're somewhat just like Christ. They ought not ever hear any foul words come from your mouth. You ought not get caught up in the dirty jokes, because that's what the world wants to do. We're talking to the young people about this morning. There's places you ought not go because you are a Christian. You ought to have a Christian summer, as Pastor was talking about this morning. Everything about you ought to resemble little Christ-like behavior as a Christian. We could stay on that subject, amen? But it also ought to be a self-examination, but there ought to be a Savior's glorification, but ought to be sinners' purification. Look at verse number 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? So there's a self-examination, there's a Savior's glorification, but there's a sinner's purification. Consider the eternal perspective and the trials that you are going through. As we said earlier, I believe that Peter wants us to understand some things. We're going to go through what we're going through. It's almost like we're not in the judgment, but God has to clean us up before he does anybody else cleaning up. That scripture says the first it must begin in what? At the house of God. Who's in the house of God? Christians. So the purification needs to take place in the Christian's life first. If you're going to ever glorify God, he has to do some changing, and it must begin with us as Christians. And he says, if my people who are called by what? My name. I can't quote the other part. Somebody help me out. Shall humble themselves and turn from what? Their wicked ways, and then they will hear from heaven. Huh? Seek my face and turn from what? Their wicked ways. Y'all pretty good there. That's good. But that's what the Bible tells us that we ought to do. I may not remember it, but I know I ought to do it. Amen? I know enough about it that I need to do it. So there's where the sinner needs to be purified. I believe that what God is doing is getting us ready for heaven before we get there. And think about it. If you're going through what you're going through, which seems so detrimental to you, what is it going to be like for those that don't know the gospel? So Peter takes a negative comment and he really makes a positive statement. We're not going to go through what the sinners or the lost people go through when Jesus returns. Aren't you glad? But we may go through some things before he returns, but it's for our good, because he's getting us ready for that place he has prepared for us. Because we need to know how to act when we get to heaven. Amen. So the process starts now. Can you believe that? That's how good God is. Because he knows you don't know how to clean your mansion. You can clean your house, but you can't clean. I'm just messing with Jerry. And she looking at me all serious. God got to get you ready. Most of y'all don't know how you lay your head when you get there. Most of us toss and turn at night, don't get no good sleep. We ain't even got to worry about resting. I'm going to know how to sleep. I ain't going to have no CPAP. Can? Amen? Because I'm going to go to that place he got prepared for me. But I got to get ready before I get there. So there are some things that need to happen to us in this Christian life. I got to later on, don't I? Amen. Nobody got to work tomorrow. Amen. Ms. Aponte says she got school. She's going to be one of them hard teachers. Amen. Just kidding. As a Christian, we should examine ourselves. Self-examination, Savior's glorification, sinner's purification. And as a Christian, my last point here, as a Christian, we should entrust ourselves to God in the trials. You know, that's probably one of the hardest things to do. Look at verse number 19. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinners appear? They're going to stand before God unjustified. Verse 19, he says, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit to the keeping of their soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. You know, it has the idea of entrusting. In other words, it's a banker's term, means that to deposit our valuables to another for the safekeeping. You know what, tonight, if you think about it, the God of this universe, he calls him the creator. You know he's one that we can trust? For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's what Peter said. So we can trust him, folks. Even through all that we're going through, we can trust God. He can be trusted. He created this world. And that's what Peter is referring to. The keeping of your soul belongs to him. And he sure can take care of it. He can take care of it. But you know what it reminds me of? And we're going to close with this. It reminds me of probably one of the greatest pictures
that we can see in history was Daniel in the fiery furnace. All of them. Yes, sir. Daniel and his companions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what? That's what trials are like. The furnace that Nebuchadnezzar put them in. And you know, the devil gonna make sure when you're going through trials, he wants it to get seven times harder. Because what he wants to do is discourage you.
That's right.
But what I like when the king said, and what I like about it, Daniel said, I don't know, O king, but you know what? Even if he don't, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel was in the lion's den. No, not the lion, but I'm talking about in the fiery furnace. That's where I want to go. I guess we just turn over to Daniel then. I get it right. Amen. Because I don't want to do it any injustice. Amen. But notice what he says in verse number 16 of chapter 3. So we get it right. Because you know what? God deserves it. Amen. Because what they wanted them to do was to bow down when they heard the music. Amen. Verse 16 says, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of all fury and from his village, was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And when he commanded that the most mighty men that were in the army of army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to go and cast them into the burning fiery furnace, these men were bound in their coats, those loosened, and their hats and their garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, the king commanded that that it was urgent, and at the furnace exceeding hot, the flames and the fire slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in it. Wow. That's how hot it was. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up with haste and spake and said unto the council, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. So did we get it right?
Amen.
They were in there, in the midst. But you know what? What I like about it, think it not strange. I don't believe they consider it to be a strange thing. Because as I said earlier, they've already made up their mind. They weren't going to do anything to defile themselves. They were going to trust God. They said, king, we don't know, but we know he's able. But if he don't, we're still not going to bow down. We're still not going to keep trusting God when we go through the fiery furnace, because we know it's going to be hot. And we know we could die. But we're going to keep trusting the Lord. And that's what they did. So it wasn't a strange thing to them, but the preservation that happened was that God was in the middle with them. Aren't you glad when you're going through trials, when you're right with God, you can sense his presence. You know that he's there, because when you're a little Christ-like, somebody else might see the God that you don't see sometimes. Because when Nebuchadnezzar looked, he said, we behold, we throw in three, but we saw a fourth one who looked like what? The Son of God. Because the Bible tells us, he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is going to be with us.
when we go through the trials.
That's right.
And what I like about it was not only do we see that ought not be, ought not surprise them, but we see the preservation, but we see the promotion. Because of what they went through, Nebuchadnezzar declared that, you know what, they weren't going to serve no other god but Daniel's God. Look at verse number 28. We'll skip down. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angels to deliver his servants that trusted in him, and have changed a king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sword." Boy, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon because they stayed with God. Just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. You can just keep trusting the Lord no matter what you're going through, because there are some hard times. We can either be going in the middle or coming out, but God will never fail us. He will be with us through the fiery furnace. And no matter what it is that you're going through, God is still good. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly where you are, because he's a good God. He knows what we need. Think it not strange when you're going through some trials in your life. It's not the end of the world. Really, it's just the beginning. I just see how good God is. Sometimes I think, in my own life, I say this to myself. I just can't wait to see what God is going to do through all of this. Somehow, he wants to glorify himself. Whether it be with physical problems that we have, whether it be with the mental problems that we have, whether it be with the spiritual that we have, whether it be with the financial trials that we have. Don't you want to just see God work? And I don't know if he's going to change them, but I know this, he's able.
That's right. Amen.
But if he don't, I'm going to just keep trusting him. What about you tonight? Hard times, they're going to come. But we can just keep trusting the Lord all along the way. I keep trusting my Lord. He'll never fail. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. You know, I think about tonight, as we began our prayer, there may be someone here tonight who's not sure that heaven is their home. You know, there wouldn't be no greater night, not for my benefit, but for your own, if you're not sure that heaven is your home. See, because you can't really trust the God of these scriptures that Peter is referring to if you don't know him. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure that heaven is your home. I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you. That's not my place. But I want to recognize your hand tonight. If you just slip your hand up right where you are, if you're not sure that heaven is your home, I just want to pray for you. You know, we can leave here tonight and take for granted that everyone here is saved. But you know what? There are many people that are set in seats right where you are. As Pastor and I talked about it this morning, I thought that they were saved, and they weren't. And there's nothing wrong with it, admitting if you're not. Because we want to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you are sure heaven being your home. Maybe you've been struggling just like myself with many things that are going on in your life. But you can trust the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight, you slip up your hand. I can pray for you tonight as I begin to pray. If you're here tonight and you're in that kind of a situation, maybe you're just going through some tough times. Anyone like that here tonight? I see that hand. Anyone, I see another hand. Anyone else that's like that tonight? Just going through some trying times in your life. I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. Maybe you're just going through some things in your life. You know, if we all would really be honest, we all are. We really are. And if you haven't, you will. And if you come out of it, you're going to go into another one someday, sometime. But I ask God here to work in our lives. Let's all stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask Miss Natasha to play a hymn of invitation. And we're going to honor you tonight by praying. First of all, if you're here tonight, do not sure that heaven is your home, that you let someone take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. And even those that raise their hand tonight and say that, Pastor White, I am going through some rough times. But God has spoken my heart. We're going to pray for you tonight as well, that God would work in our midst. Because if we really be honest with ourselves, we all are going through something in our life. Because if you're a Christian, according to this book and even the scriptures that we read tonight, that we ought not think it strange when we go through some fiery trials that are to try us. Because God allows those things to happen. Maybe we need tonight to examine our lives and make sure we're not there because of something that we need to get right, that we can be right with someone, right with God. Maybe there is something that we need to do. We can do that tonight as well. But you know, one of the things that I believe that each and every one of us ought to do in our Christian life is just to trust the Lord with whatever it is that you're going through. And just be honest with God. And trust Him with your life. He can do more. He can do better with it than you and I ever can by holding on to it, thinking that we can do better. But you know, there's no place that you can go without the need of Christ. There's nothing you can do in this life that will be pleasing to God except that you would surrender your will to Him and let Him work. Because the eternal consequences are His, and He knows exactly what you need. But what a joy it is to know that you're in the center of God's will. And sometimes the center of God's will brings us to some of the hardest and toughest times that we live in this life. But He knows where you are. I ask God to bless and work in our midst. And truly, we might be different than the way we came in. And I'm going to ask our pastor to come and close this out and see as how he sees fit.